I just want to say how much of a joy it has been to build friendship with Mark and Bridget. And their first coming to North America 9 years ago, I think it's nine years, was around the time that we began connecting with the team. And from our first meeting with them, our hearts were knit. And, you know, every time we have an opportunity to be in the same place, we've gone out for dinner together, we've gone shopping together, we've done various things. And they have loved on us, and we've done our best to love on them. But it's been a joy. The kind of relationships that God gives us in the kingdom. And so the friendship has been sweet, but also the deposit of Christ that they've left in our lives and also in our church has been really, really wonderful. And I want to thank you for having the faith and the generosity to lend them to us when they came and poured into our church. A deposit was left. The gift that's in them was left with us. And so that's been a real joy. And I just want to say it's just incredibly exciting for us to be with you guys and to be where the action is. How many of you felt the action tonight? When I walked in the doors and the team was playing and I was just overtaken by the presence of God. Just in the practice. And I was overtaken in the worship. I looked around this place, and I was so aware of how deeply, deeply loved you are by God. And I felt the favor of God. I felt the favor of God on you. And it feels like home, you know? I imagine what it'll be like one day to go and be with the Lord. And when that seam is shattered, you know, between the veil between here and there, and we get to experience the love of Christ face to face, heart to heart. But we get to experience a little bit of that now. And I felt that in this place tonight. I want to tell you, what I want to do tonight is, because a lot of you don't know who we are and, you know, where we come from and what our life is and whatnot, I wanted to share just a little teeny bit about our history. And hopefully out of that history a little bit, I trust the Spirit of God will give a bit of a deposit for you tonight. Lessons that we've learned, things that God has done. And maybe by the grace of God, God will impart something to you from what God has done in our lives. And I want to say, first of all, for me, my wife and I come from a similar background. We come out of the world, hardcore world. And for me, I come from a great, great place of brokenness. And I can say today I'm a trophy of what God's love is capable of doing in someone's life. And just a little bit of history. My dad, I grew up in a home where my dad wasn't present. He was a mechanical engineer, worked on large dam projects all over the world, and I kind of grew up without a father. And the memories that I have of my father, none of them are good, because when he came home, it was hell. And I grew up with a great awareness of the fact that I was not loved by my dad. And you know, when he finally did leave, he left when I was 11 years old. And when he finally did leave, in a sense, there was peace that came to our household because he wasn't there anymore. But the gaping hole of the awareness of that that not being loved by my dad. My mom loved me, and I can tell you that. She was awesome awesome woman, and even though in her struggles, you know, she married a non-Christian man, and you know, the struggles that come from a mixed relationship like that, and but she tried, you know, took me to Sunday school when I was a little kid, and I grew up with a little teeny bit of an awareness who God was. I kind of knew who Jesus was because when I got in trouble, I knew that something had to do with Jesus. You call out. And I did that a number of times in my youth. But my life began to really go downhill at 11. And I'm not kidding when I say that. By the time I was 13, I was already into drugs, and by the time I was 15, I was already on the needle. I was an IV drug user, and by the time I was 16, I was kicked out of school for dealing in drugs, and lived on the streets in Vancouver, and traveled throughout British Columbia. I made my living by being a mule, which is, you know, a person who transports drugs from one place to another. And by the time I was 17, my life was so completely destroyed from the lifestyle that I was living. And by 17 and a half, I was the kind of guy that you would see on the street with the glazed look. You know, you pass that person on the street, long hair all the way down my back, and, you know, matted and really just burned out in a matter from 13 to 17 years old because of the degree of the drug culture that I was living in. And by that time, I couldn't even carry on a one-on-one conversation with anyone. I couldn't even communicate. And my personality was so destroyed that I didn't want to be around people. I was very insecure. And, you know, if I came in contact with someone, I would mumble a few things and then I'd avoid contact. But the last year of my life in that world, a strange thing was happening to me. I found for the entire year, from 17 to almost 18 years old, every community that I went into, I was drawn to churches. And I didn't know what it was, but I would see a church. And something would tug at my heart. And I would walk over to the building. And if I opened the door and there was someone there, I'd walk away. But if there was no one there, I would just go and I'd sit. I didn't really understand, you know. But I kind of knew that there was something there that was greater. Someone that was bigger than me. And I would leave those places and go to the next town and the next delivery and into the next church. All of that, I believe, was God preparing me for the day that I would walk into a little church in Prince George, B.C. And what had happened is my mom, we lived in Terrace, in those high school years, and that's where I got kicked out of high school and where I left from. But in that time period that I was living on the streets, my mom had moved from Terrace to Prince George, and I had been kind of making Quesnel, B.C., which is a town south of Prince George, about an hour and 15 minutes. I've been kind of making that the center of my my life, and my mom was moving into a new house in Prince George, and she asked me if I would come and help her move in. She hadn't seen me in a long time, and when I walked into her home on that weekend, she saw the condition that I was in. She knew I needed God. And I had just been to the bar the night before, made a lot of money from selling drugs in Prince George. I'd used it as an opportunity to deliver some drugs, and the night, Saturday night before Sunday. And on Friday night, I had been to the bar and made this money, and on Saturday, she wouldn't let me alone. She kept on pressing me. You have to come to church with me. You have to come to church with me. And I was thinking, you know, that's the last place I want to be. You know, I can't even identify with people in my own subculture. How could I ever possibly relate to this kind of people? And she just wouldn't let me alone. And I could hear voices in my head. And one voice was saying, you cannot go, don't go. And I could feel the heaviness and the darkness in that voice. Don't go, you cannot go. And another voice was speaking right inside my head as my mom was talking to me and saying to me, you have to go, you have to go. And this war was going on inside me. My stomach was tight and my chest was tight, and I could feel forces in, you know, fighting for my heart and my soul. And finally, almost didn't, just to get my mom off my back, you know, I finally relented and said, oh, all right, I'll go. And at that instant, a peace came over me. And I don't know exactly how it works, except that the Spirit of God had won that battle. I went to sleep that night and got up in the morning and trailed off to a little church of 35 people in Prince George, and walked into that place. I don't even remember what was preached. I don't remember what happened in that particular service. But I somehow came in contact with the presence of God in that place. And I don't know if it was the worship or the word. I don't remember what was preached. But I remember what happened in my heart. And I said to God that day, if you can somehow make something of the tangled mess that I've made of my life, I'll serve you. And I'll know that you're real. That day, I didn't even realize what happened. But I walked out, and I can only explain it to you this way. The sky was bluer. The grass was greener. I didn't know what had happened inside me. And I went home, and the drugs that I had in this pocket and the money that I had in this pocket were burning a hole in my pockets. Monday morning came around, and I went downtown, and there was a little Christian coffee house in Prince George called the King's Inn. And it said Christian on the door. And I figured, you know, maybe that's something good and I should probably, you know, go in there. And I walked inside that little coffee house, and there was a little lunch bucket that had a hole in it that said donations. And when no one was looking, I cracked it open and took the wad of bills out of my pocket that I'd made from selling drugs. Put them in that lunch bucket. Closed the lid. I walked outside, and when no one was looking on the street, I took the bag of drugs in my pocket, and I threw them up on top of the building. And I walked away from the world that I was living in. And this is the miracle for me. I walked away with no withdrawal, with no desire whatsoever to go back into that darkness. And I have to say to you, my life was not changed in a lot of ways. You know, I was the guy, you know, from that day forward I began going to church, but I was the guy who would stand outside around the corner and watch people in. I'd wait until the service was started and everybody was in. When I thought there was nobody left that I would talk to, then I would go in and I would sit in the back
And I would listen. I would watch what happened. As soon as I thought the thing was over, I'd scurry out the door. Because I was so insecure. So broken. You know, I felt like I was absolutely worthless. And I couldn't talk to people. But gradually, over the course of time, coming into the presence of God, coming into the ministry of the Holy Spirit among God's people, the revelation of God's love, of His incredible love for a worm and a wretch like me, which is what I felt like. And I began to believe that love. You know, every time I would come into the presence of God, I would just feel loved. I would just feel God looking at me, not as what I was, you know, but how He felt about me. And I was enveloped and, you know, just covered and brought into the arms of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And eventually I got to the place where I thought, if God can love me, maybe people can love me too. And I began to venture out little bits of conversation, struggling, bumbling conversation. And began to get a little bit more secure and confident. It's around that time I met my wife. And a bit restored. And she, in the early days of our friendship, would confront me with the words that I would speak over my life, with the ideas that I had about myself. And she would confront the lies the enemy had spoken over me. She would speak the word of the Lord into my life. And I fell in love with her. And she has her own stories to tell. But she's part of the healing process that happened in my life. So that's a little bit of my history, where I come from. But I want to say to you today, the theme that I picked for this weekend, and God is able to do whatever He wants to do, He can change anything He wants to change, is no agenda but Jesus, and living the Christ life in a fallen world. I want to say to you today that God wants to give you all kinds of people. You know, you need some people who are together. How many of you know you need some people who are together? You need those who are going to come here without much need, and they're going to add strength, and they're going to bring their gifts, and they're going to release Christ among you. And you know, your churches, they're like backbone people. They're people that are, they just automatically add something. But God also wants to give you the other kind. And because He is a restorer. He's a restorer of the breach. He's a restorer of paths to dwell in. And He's able to take the most broken and pour Himself in. He's able to take lives that don't believe they could ever amount to anything, and turn them into, you know, passionate, whole, on fire, living beings, full of the life of God. He's able to do that. And He wants to do that through you. He wants to do that through the Jesus that's living inside of you. The words that you speak, the way that you respond, how you embrace people, how you see them, and the touch that you give. And can I say to you today that this church and these churches, you know, I was listening to Kirk and Jan. He was talking a little bit about the area that they live in and how broken that area is. I want to tell you, God loves the broken places that we live in, the families that are broken, the marriages that are broken, those people God loves. Our church is full of those kinds of people. You know, we have our those who have come, by the way, a number of years ago. We had seen an influx of souls into our church, just many people coming to the Lord, and our beleaguered leadership team trying to take care of all these new converts. And I said to our eldership team one day, I said, we need to ask God for some stable people. And it was amazing, you know, because I really felt to ask God, God, give us seven couples. You know, the number seven. Give us seven couples that will come into this place and automatically be able to care for these people that you've brought among us. And we watched over the course of that year, you know, people coming from all over different places. And they would land in our church with their stability and their giftings and their strength, and they would love on these people that had given their lives to Christ. Amazing. God does that for churches, you know. He knows what you need. Can I say to you today, He knows what this place needs. Kirk and Jan, He knows what you need. He knows what you guys need. You know, He has your number. I want to tell you a story. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Francis Enfuso? You have no idea who that is. Okay? Italian guy. And he's a pretty unusual guy. Full of faith. And one day, he received a telephone call. And he picked up the phone and the guy on the other end said, "Hello?" And he said, "Hello?" And the guy said, "You just called me." And he said, "Well, no, I didn't call you. You called me." And so they're having this conversation back and forth, and finally both of them hung up the phone. And then the phone rang again. And the guy on the other end says, "Hello?" And he says, "Hello?" And by now he was catching on. Maybe this was a God moment. And he said to him, he says, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why this is happening, but I didn't call you." The guy wouldn't believe him, of course. And he said, "Well, I'm absolutely certain that you called me, because I certainly didn't call you." And then Francis said to him, he said, "Well, you know, I have a feeling that God might be in this." And he says, "What are you talking about?" And he just began to share the Lord with this guy. And, you know, half an hour conversation goes into 45 minutes, goes into an hour. And just talking about this. And finally the guy says, "Well, this is too fantastic for me to believe." And then, you know, he hung up the phone. And a few minutes later, the phone rang. And Francis answers the phone. And the guy picks up the phone on his end. And he says, "I believe you now." He says, "Because my phone just rang. And it was you." And he says, I know that it wasn't me and it wasn't you. It had to be God." And the guy gave his life to the Lord just through that miracle of that, eh? And I want to tell you one other story. Just the serendipitous moments of how God leads people into our lives. And, you know, the incredible way that God searches people out. There are people in this city that God is searching out. And He has moments in time for you. He has appointments for you. Supernatural events that you cannot even see or dream of. God is arranging these things. I just want to tell you one story from our life. My wife and I used to be in a denomination years back, and we were attending a pastor's conference in Banff at the Banff Springs Hotel. And we were walking through the aisle, or the main corridor in the Banff Springs Hotel in between sessions. And as we were walking down the aisle of this beautiful hotel, a woman began, you know, was walking toward us, and our eyes met her eyes, and you know, we just kind of connected in some kind of way, and she walked past, and we walked past, and we both stopped, and we turned around, and we looked at each other, and we didn't quite know what was going on, but it was just a strange thing, you know. I mean, we noticed her, and she noticed us, and we looked at each other, and kind of nodded, and walked, you know, on our way. And that night, around 10 o'clock, after the sessions were over, we were in our hotel room, and I wanted to go out and get something from the pop machine. I usually, back in those days, carried a lot of change in my pockets and would always have change. Walked outside to where the pop machine was, realized I didn't have any change for the pop machine, and I walked downstairs into the lobby of the Banff Springs Hotel. As I'm heading to the front desk, this woman walks by. And I'm heading over to get change, and the Spirit of God specifically said to me, go and share the gospel with her. And I'm arguing in my mind. And, you know, she's walking that way, and I'm walking there, and I said, I'm saying, God, this can't be right. First of all, I'm a man, and she's a woman. You know, and you want me to go witness to her at 10 o'clock at night in the Banff Springs Hotel, there's already something majorly wrong with this. And you know, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to broach the conversation with her out of the blue, you know? And I put a fleece before God. I said, God, if I go to the counter and I get the change and I walk back and she's still there, then I'll share with her. And so I went to the counter, got the change, and as I walked back, sure enough, there she was, standing, looking at one of the pictures in the auditorium, kind of open area of the Banff Springs Hotel. So I walked up and didn't know what I was going to say to her, you know, just walked up, and she recognized me from earlier in the day. I recognized her, obviously, but I still had my conference tag, and it said pastor on it. And so she looked at me and said hi. And I said hi, and she looked down at my tag and said pastor. And she says, you're a pastor. I says, yes, actually, I'm here for a conference. It's a pastor's conference. And then she started firing questions. And I started answering her questions and began sharing the Lord with her. And the anointing of the presence of God was so palpable. The hair on my arms was standing up. It was just the profound presence of God. 2 hours later, and with the lady with the vacuum cleaner going by in the Banff Springs Hotel, this lady with tears in her eyes, tears streaming down her face, gives her life to Christ. No, that's not. This is where the miracle begins, guys. This is amazing. She gives her life to the Lord. And I said, listen, we're having a luncheon tomorrow. Why don't you come at lunchtime? Now, I found out. Actually, I'll tell you about that in a second. So she left. She wasn't even staying in that hotel. She was staying at a different hotel. And so the moment of her walking by, the chances of us happening to see her in that hallway earlier that day and to see her at night, at 10 o'clock at night, was just, it's crazy, you know. And so anyway, she came to the luncheon the next day, and then we began to hear her story. She was a dental assistant who lived in Vancouver. And she had had a marriage breakup, and she was going through a mental breakdown. And her boss said to her, who was a non-Christian, said to her, I'm going to give you 2 weeks off. You need to go find God. That's what he said to her. And so she thought, where do you find God?
You go to the mountains. So off she went. Got in her car and drove to Banff. Ended up in the Banff Springs Hotel at that time. Now here's the crazy thing. We're sitting at the table, and she's sharing her story, and we're talking to her, and in walks a lady whose husband, you know, is a missionary and whatnot in other parts of the world, and she was only passing through, and she recognized us, came over to the table, sat down at the table with us, and she lives a block away from this woman in Vancouver and was only passing through at lunch that day. We introduced her, and she followed her up, and that's close to 30 years, and that lady has been serving God ever since in Vancouver. And I just want to say to you, you cannot tell where the miracles are going to be. You can't tell. You can't know when you get up in the morning what God may have for you. You know, the serendipitous, what seems like serendipitous moments, pointless contacts that God has orchestrated because he loves somebody who's broken. You don't know where they've come from. You don't know where they're going to. You know, you don't know the history of their lives. But the moments in time that God gives you are a gift from God, an opportunity to touch someone's life. I could tell you many other stories like that, but I just wanted to share that with you so that you could know. You know, I really felt this. You know, I said to you guys, God knows where you are. He has your number. You know, he knows. He knows where you are. He knows where those people are. He knows how to add to your church. And he knows who needs to be here. You know, and in his incredible, supernatural way, as we are simply obedient to God and allow the Spirit of God to take us in those moments, God will bring people. And he will add to you. That's all I have to share tonight. Can we pray? That'd be okay. Lord, you're incredible. You are absolutely incredible. We cannot begin to fathom the depths of the wisdom, the knowledge, the power that you have. Lord, you hold this entire universe. You hold the entire universe in existence by the word of your power. Every molecule, every particle of this entire universe moves in its path with your knowledge. God, you see every soul on this planet. Every hair of every person on this planet is numbered. You know the histories, God. You know the generations, the thousands of generations that have passed to bring this person into existence. You know the frame of their being. You know the inner workings of their hearts. Lord, you know the life-giving things and the death things that have formulated their lives as they are. You love these people. God, you are capable. You are so capable of ordering steps specifically to see these people, these other sheep that you describe, that are not of this fold, who you must bring also. You're capable of ordering the steps to bring them to yourself. I pray, Father, for these churches that are here in this room today, God.
I pray for the miraculous, supernatural leadings of your Holy Spirit. I pray for faith to rise in the hearts of every person here, that this is a day that is ordered by God. It's a day, God, that you have planned for us. Lord, you've set it in front of us, God. And there are things, God, that you want to do in each day. I pray for the faith, God, to rise in us, God, that when we have those encounters with people, when we run across that person in that store, when there's that nudging of our hearts to make a contact, to somehow touch them in some kind of way, to somehow extend the gifts that you've given to us into their lives, into their hearts. Whether it's generosity or a word of kindness or an act of service or just an acknowledgement of some kind. Father, use each of these people here, Father. Use the people in these congregations, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would add, like you did in the New Testament church, add unto them daily such as should be saved. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for that, God.
Thank you, Mark. And it's wonderful to hear stories of God in action. They're not just stories to entertain us, but they are life-giving opportunities for us to hear that God is everywhere, God is functioning everywhere, God is about everybody. I mean, this is a story I just it highlighted again for me. Maybe Mark will share it. He's out of his comfort zone. He's in this city. We go out to dinner last night, and he meets a guy, and the Lord says, "Don't worry, Mark and Mo, I know who you are, and I know where you are, and I can put you together with anyone, anytime I choose." And maybe you'll, I don't want to share the story, maybe I'll tell you. Come tell the story with Lawrence. It's interesting just to note, walk into a restaurant. Two men walked into a...
So we went to the Vietnamese place. And by the way, pray for Stephanie. Stephanie, pray for Stephanie. I don't know if she's the owner. Don't any of you know if she's the owner of that Vietnamese restaurant? I tell you, she acts like she's the owner. Stephanie. Because there's a love relationship developing between Bridget and Stephanie. And I don't know, there was something going on there. But pray for her, because I think she's one of those contacts, you know. So we're sitting in the restaurant, and at a table over from us is one of the elders in Mike Holmes' church. And some of you may know him. His name is Lawrence. And he's a Chinese guy. And we get talking. You know, just bantering back and forth, and oh yeah, yeah. You know, where are you from? Oh, I'm from BC. I'm from BC too. I lived in Quesnel. Oh really? I grew up in Quesnel. And so the conversation goes on, and he says, I don't know if you remember, but my last name is Keen, and my dad owned the menswear store. In Quesnel. I remember very, very well because I shoplifted a pair of jeans out of that store, which I didn't tell him about. But in the course of the conversation, just as we talked, there was this immediate connection, you know. And what are the chances of walking into a restaurant and meeting somebody and having that kind of history, you know, from the past like that? Just, you know, God ordering people's steps. Yeah.